Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel, which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it. I have good reports to tell you. Last week we did raised money for Romania for the bathroom remodel. Our friends there minister to the gypsy villages, bring in kids daily and bathe them, give them clean clothes and educate them, and then bring them back home and pick them up every day and do that. And they need new bathroom facilities to be able to accommodate all their kids. So we said, we got you, we're gonna do it. We said, how much? $65,000. And we had a family say, we will match half of that. If you can raise $32,500, we will match the rest of it. So we said, oh, well, we're going to ask our studio family, but we will give you that, get you that money. And our team is leaving on November 3rd to go finish the project. And we told them, we're going to get it for you. They said, good, because we already bought the stuff. Because we knew you guys would come, would get us the money. Well, last week, in one day, we raised $32,500. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for just giving so freely. It is something that makes me excited and hopeful, because people who are generous are people that you can trust, and God can pour out his goodness and kindness and generosity even more, because he knows that you'll bless those around you and give it away. So thank you for being those kind of people. And we are excited to go to Romania and finish up those bathrooms. We have an incredible team of 18 of us that are leaving soon. Eric says hello from a golf destination in Virginia. I can't remember the name of it. Roanoke? Roanoke. See, that's why I'd never heard of it before. But he's having a great time at a golf retreat, and he'll be home tonight or tomorrow, one of the two, because of the weather and flying or something. I am excited to be here with you today. What I love about our studio community, it is, you are a passionate group of Jesus followers. Passionate. Look around, look at yourself. You are passionate people all in this room. And I am so thankful for that. One of the things that I see, that as we navigate following Jesus in the world, there is tension because of where we live. We live in this world, and we know we're supposed to pray that his kingdom would come and his will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. We live in a society, and a society has a culture, the way that it thinks, the things that it values, the core beliefs. And the culture that we live in is very different than the kingdom culture that we are called to pray that we'd come to this earth. And so as humans with limitations, and we need to eat, we need to sleep, we need community, there are things that God has given us limits in. And then he's called us to come and to not be of the world, but to be in the world. So we get, with our humanness, get to navigate what it looks like to not be perfect, but to choose God, to pray that his kingdom would come, and to do our best to follow him. And today, my hope is to bring courage to everyone. And I want to pray a little bit more as well, because I believe that God is, he's always inviting us into stuff, but I want to give us courage and strength for the places where he's calling us to walk. There's sometimes we do things and we don't realize what mixture there is inside of us. We're like, oh, I'm following God, and this is what the word says to do. And as we do it, we don't realize we brought some of this other culture around us, society culture. Because there's a difference between kingdom culture, which is God's rule and reign, and then the culture of modern day society. And one of the biggest differences is modern day society, it's the God is self. Self is God. It is kingdom of self. And kingdom culture is God is the center of the kingdom. And I have a slide up here, and would love to just go through just some of the contrast of the kingdom culture and modern day culture, because it seeps into our lives. And I see it, I experience it, and sometimes we don't even realize it. The way we're like, oh, the way that I love, the way that I give, it is about me. I'm like, oh, wait, how did... The giving and loving part is great. The part that gets seeped into there came from somewhere else. See, the kingdom culture is one where it's the kingdom of God. And the first one is not my will, but yours be done. It is one where we deny ourselves to take up our cross. It is one where we say his will, not my will. It's one of surrender, not of taking. It is one where we are dependent on God and we live in obedience. Obedience means it's not just what we want and what we think. And it's even that opinions, laying down our opinions and our preferences, that is the opposite of obedience. And then it's one where it's self-sacrificing. It's full of love. And one of the natures of love is to sacrifice. Modern day culture says, don't let anyone tell you how to live. I'm the boss of myself. It is one where it has a culture of control, and it's not just controlling self, because I do believe that is a fruit of the Spirit, self-control, but you control others, and if you can't and they don't agree with you, then you cancel them. That's not a good idea. See, that's not in the kingdom culture, and so I don't know why that's in the church. So somehow things are getting, and we can justify some of the decisions we're making because we're living in a different culture. And I just want to create the contrast this morning, because where God is calling us, we need to know what is in his kingdom, and that we don't get confused and try to take other things with us and be like, because I'm loving my brother, now here's a boundary, just cut you off. I don't know how to be a body in a cancel culture. Modern day culture says dependence on self. I can figure it out. It's all about me, because it all comes back to me and I can provide for all. I'm like, no, we can't. We actually need God. We are dependent on him at the beginning, in the middle, and the end of the day. No matter how strong and gifted you are, we're dependent on him. Modern day culture is about your preferences and opinions. What did you think? What do you prefer? Then you should do that. That is the opposite of kingdom culture. And I see that all through the church. I even see it in my own life, and I don't even recognize it sometimes. Like, oh wait, that has nothing to do with what he's calling me. That has nothing to do with how Jesus lived. Modern culture is really anchored in self-promotion, self-preservation, self-protection. And the kingdom just doesn't work like that. So today, my hope is to share a little contrast of the cultures that are present in our lives, and also reveal even the nature of them. Modern culture exalts the sovereignty of self. Kingdom culture calls us to surrender of self. One of the things I loved is a few months ago, and I've mentioned it multiple times, but Isaac, who plays in the worship team, we were talking with a group of us and just saying, it's incredible what God is doing in our community. It's been so fun to be a part of and so fun to watch. And then we began to share what we see God doing. And he said, what I've been witnessing is as I'm playing and leading in worship throughout the days, and he's up here all the time, he said, I can see a momentum of surrender in studio. And I'm like, oh, that's it. I can see that too. And I can feel it. And it makes me so excited, because that is the kingdom of God. That is where we're going. It's what God can do when we have a full yes to him is crazy. And then when we trust him and we surrender, that's why I love that new song and that anthem. It's so beautiful. And it's important what we sing. It's important what we talk about, because it eventually starts to infect and affect what we think and how we live. And so sometimes we sing worship songs out of faith. Of like, Lord, I want to give you my whole heart, but I'm on a journey there. And I honor you and I worship you. And we do that, but sometimes it's such a choice. And sometimes it's even out of faith. And I believe in that. I know the power of our words. And so just because I don't feel it doesn't mean I don't sing it. Sometimes I need to sing it louder. To go, come on, body, just like we did communion, it's time to remember. We take time to intentionally do things, not because we feel them. I feel like having communion today, sometimes not, but it doesn't dictate what I do. So our anthems are important, what we sing, what we confess. Today, I have three stories from you out of the Bible. I want to talk about kingdom culture. They are stories that highlight the values of his kingdom. They are things that I want us to grow in. I want us to become strong in this. And I think there are things that we have in this, but I know there's so much more. Do you guys know that there's more? There's more that God has for us, and he wants to equip us and to strengthen us to be able to stand and to walk into the places that he's calling us, that we would bring his kingdom would come. I love the art gallery happening on Thursday and Friday. I do believe it's important what we're creating, what we're producing, what we are partnering with will impact the world around us. I believe that we are ones that are supposed to create environments and create atmospheres where people can be set free and people could come to know the Lord. So it's very important what we understand and whose kingdom we're walking in. And they're very different. So my first story, it's a story of boldness. Can you say boldness? Boldness. It's of courage and conviction. It's saying yes to God, even when we don't know what's going to happen. This should relate to everyone who is sitting in a chair right now and standing up who's breathing. It's saying yes to God even when you don't know what's going to happen. Here's the thing, is he is God and we are not. We are called to steward, to walk in faith, but we are not God, so we cannot dictate how everything plays out. And see, this began in Babylon. In Babylon, where King Nebuchadnezzar had ruled one of the most powerful empires in the ancient world. Many Israelites, including Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were from Jerusalem and been exiled after Babylon conquered their land. In Daniel 3, Nebuchadnezzar, he erects a giant gold statue that's 90 feet tall and commands everyone in the kingdom, when they play the music, that you have to bow down and worship this idol. See, these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were chosen for royal service because they were bright, because they were capable and faithful. And though they lived in a foreign culture with foreign gods, they remained devout and devoted to one true God. So the music play, everyone's watching, and they bow down to the statue. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do not bow down. The king hears of it. So there was a decree that whoever doesn't is going to get put in the fiery furnace. And so they bring him to him. And he says, if you do not bow down, you are going to get put in the fiery furnace. And their response is stunning. Their answer is one of the most courageous declarations in all of Scripture. I want to put it up there. It's Daniel 3, verses 17 and 18. They say, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able, can you say is able? To deliver us from it. He will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. I have highlighted that he is able because that's who our God is. But I love their faith. I love their boldness. But even if he does not, just know we have already decided. We have such a strong yes to him. It doesn't matter what you do. They were so courageous. I'm inspired by this because I know there's places we are walking and we will walk that we need a different kind of boldness in us. For them to be able to live in that culture that is serving other gods, and they serve one true God, even in the face of a fiery furnace. So, of course, King Nebuchadnezzar is furious. He says, heat it up seven times more. And it's so hot that even the soldiers that came to put them in, they burned up and died. So they go in there and they don't know what's going to happen. It's kind of the journey of walking in faith. We don't know what's going to happen, but we know who he is and we know he's able. They look into the fiery furnace and they go, thought I put three in there. There are four walking around in there. One looks like the Son of God. Come on out here. They bring him out. And it says that not any part of them was singed. They didn't even smell like smoke. That is the God that we serve, who is able to do that. But it was bigger than just that. It was their choice to go, we will do this. We've already made up our mind. Our yes is so strong, it doesn't matter what's going to happen. But what's crazy, because of their yes, because of their boldness, they got to Nebuchadnezzar got to witness the power of God. He said, we all praise the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That is beautiful. They were protected. They got to witness the power of God. Their bold yes and obedience to God led to all of that. See, it's about saying yes to obedience, knowing that sometimes the miracle isn't escaping the fire. It's finding God right in the middle of it. It's good for us to know these things because I think that we are wired for comfort. I think our culture even wires us for comfort. I think maybe it's the millions of coffee shops popping up all around, which I love, you know. No diss to the coffee shops, but it is really, we have created an environment where we are just very, very comfortable. But I want to tell you that that's not his kingdom. He is the comforter. He does not promise to make everything comfortable. And it's like, what, it's good. It's good for us to know these things because as we follow him and say yes to him, that we are not so surprised and knocked off when it's not all full of roses and coffee. That was never promised, but he did say he would always be with us, that he is a provider, that he is our comforter, that he is our counselor. Do we know our God? His kingdom, that's what we're called to walk in. Story number two, this is a story about forgiveness, about reconciliation and redemption. It's one where God takes great pain and turns it into beauty. Do you guys ever know stories like that? Many of you are sitting in these chairs and these are some of your stories. This one's so inspiring and it's challenging as well. Because see, this person would never get to walk into the beauty if they wouldn't have forgiven and let go of that pain. See, there it started with a dream. And to walk in, to realize that dream, this person had to let go of the pain. And I just wonder how many of us aren't able to step into the full promise of God because we won't let go of the pain. This is not just for the story. I'm reading this to challenge us. And I'm lifting my hand going, there's so many situations that have happened or I've watched or I've been directly impacted from that were unjust. And I have a choice of what I'm going to do. Who am I saying yes to and what am I grabbing onto? It impacts everything. Do you ever feel like you have the right to be angry with someone or to cut someone off because of the wrong they've done towards you? I mean, sometimes we are so justified. But I want to tell you about his kingdom. I want to tell you about his kingdom and how powerful forgiveness is. And often it requires a surrender. See, this one, the context is Joseph, and the story begins in Genesis 37. See, his father was Jacob, and Joseph had many brothers, but Joseph was one of his favorites because do you know Jacob, out of everyone in his life who he loved Rachel. Rachel, and he had many wives, but he loved Rachel, and Joseph was Rachel's son. Rachel had Joseph and Benjamin. And Jacob loved Joseph so much, he gave him a coat of many colors. And then Joseph has a dream, and a dream that he was going to be in great leadership and things were going to bow down to him. And he tells his brothers. And of course, his brothers already knew how loved Joseph was and how favored Joseph was. So they decided to go throw him in a pit. And ultimately, they sold him into slavery. And this is where Joseph's life just turns. See, it started with a dream. And it sounded all great. And I don't know if you're in here and you're like me, where you're like, yes, the Lord has spoken this. I know how to get there. I can count 1, 2, 3. I know exactly how to progress forward. Or maybe it looks like the alphabet. We're not doing numbers. Maybe it's A, B, C. So when God says something, it's so easy to know, oh, I know what this is going to look like. But I can tell you how many times I have been surprised that it doesn't turn out and he doesn't progress like I think. And he doesn't just use numbers and letters because he is God and his ways are higher than ours and he can lead us however he wants. And I know I'm speaking to people who are right in the middle of this great journey called life that we're all trying to figure out, Lord, what does it look like to serve you, to have a full yes And yes, it often requires surrender because he doesn't even do it like we think he should. Because see, in his kingdom, he's the king. And he knows everything. And we only see in part. So Joseph goes on a journey from the pit into slavery to the prison. And then ultimately, because of being able to interpret dreams, gifts from the Lord, he ends up in the palace. He gets great favor from Pharaoh in Egypt. And he ends up becoming one of the top rulers with Pharaoh because he's able to let him know that in his dream, there's going to be great famine. But because God has shown us, this is our plan and what we're going to do. So he put Joseph over all of that. So his dream comes true. But it was 22 years later. So his brothers stick him in the pit, left for dead. Nope, but then they sold him into slavery, even better. 22 years later, Joseph is administrating the grain and the food in a time of famine when there was great need. He was someone who had great wealth at this time and access to great resource. And guess who comes to get food 22 years later? The same brothers who sold him into slavery, who were in a place of need. They come to ask for food and they don't recognize Joseph, but Joseph recognizes them. How do you think Joseph feels? What feelings would you feel at that time? Wow, I have so much power and so much resource, the things I could do to you right now. That's the evil part of me, no? I mean, we're talking about a human person here. So this story is so inspiring to me because I can feel the feelings. I know what it's like to be wronged. I don't know what it's like to be sold into slavery. I mean, we're talking great, great proportion of wickedness and evil turned towards you, of the things that Joseph had to overcome. And I get emotional thinking about how Joseph replied to his brothers. Because I think about how I cannot reply to some people. And I just want to talk about his kingdom. Genesis 45, verse 4 through 7. His brothers come, and then Joseph, before this, he says he can no longer control himself. That tells me his emotions were high. He hadn't seen his brothers for 22 years. Was he feeling lonely? Was he feeling mad? Was he feeling like, oh my gosh, there's my family? I don't know what he was feeling. But I know there was a lot of it because he could no longer control himself. And he says to his brothers right before this, I'm Joseph. Is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him. They were terrified at his presence. And then continuing in verse 4, says, then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land. And for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you for a remnant on the earth and save your lives to be a great deliverance. How in the world was Joseph able to respond like that? How in the world? And I say that with the most humility and honesty of things and situations and people that I still get the opportunity to face. I'm like, what level of graciousness took place that he could do that? Joseph, what did Joseph have to choose in order to respond like that? I propose that Joseph had to surrender to the journey that God had for him. He went through 22 years in a foreign land, much of them enslaved, the other in prison. And this was only 2 years in to, they had 7 years of plenty. And then this is 2 years into the drought. He had to surrender. How many of you look at your lives and even the journey that you're on, you're like, this is not what I had in mind. I don't know what, God, what are you thinking? For us to actually step into what he has for us, we have to surrender that. We have to go, Lord, I trust you. You are God and I am not. I propose that he had to surrender forgiveness and release his brothers from the actions that they took against him. And they were direct, it was personal, and it was premeditated. This was not just on a whim. I'm like, this is a huge thing. And I'm a justice person. And so I'm like, I'll do right. I'll be honest with you. But whoa, if you're going to wrong me once, wrong me twice, do it three times, I'll forgive you. But let's just say I'll build my house on the other side of the street because I don't feel safe. I'm like, oh, I don't know that that's his kingdom. What are we willing to surrender? I believe that Joseph was willing to say yes to the provision of God for him and his family, to be able to respond like that, to be able to say, God sent me ahead of you. God sent me ahead of you into slavery, into prison. And I think the only way he could say that is because he had God's perspective. And I believe for us to be able to have a full yes and to surrender, we do need to ask God, give me your perspective on things, not just my own limited, this is all that I see and all that I work to see. We actually have to expand and to grow bigger. Joseph, yes, and surrender to God led to the fulfillment of his dream, his favor and position with Pharaoh, and ultimately the deliverance and provision for his family. I believe that many of you are actually called to make a way for your family and for the lineage that comes behind you. And your yes is crucial. Your yes is crucial. And your willingness to surrender and let go of pain, it's non-negotiable. If you want to step into the dream, if you want to step into the promise, there is more required of us. The last one, it's the third and final story, but it's a story of love. And this one, he knew exactly what he was walking to. It wasn't the fiery furnace where I was like, am I going to get delivered or not? This one, he knew exactly what he was walking to. He knew how horrible and painful and what a cruel death it would be. And he still said, yeah, I would do this. And I know it cost him everything. Because right before he went to his death, he has the final supper, the last supper. And it was Jesus, and he's sitting down with his, or he had the last supper. Then they go into the garden because he needs to take time to pray because he knows what's coming ahead. And he takes his disciples and he tells them, this is Matthew 26. And there's deep emotion in what's communicated. So I know there was a deep wrestle. And I look at this and we call ourselves Christians and we're doing our best to follow Christ. Everything that I read in these next verses are not the culture that I see all around me in our society. It is not self-seeking. It is not self-preserving. It is not self-promoting. It is the exact opposite of that. And this is Jesus. Matthew 26, 39 and 42, he says, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. He went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is possible for this cup be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. He said, if there's any other way to go about this, then I would do that. But if not, let it be your will. And knowing exactly what was ahead. That's different. I'm like, oh, it's almost better not to know. But it was that kind of love and that kind of laying down and that kind of choice. I'm like, what our yes can do can save humanity. That's what Jesus did in laying down his life. He made a way for all of humanity to be with the Father. He became the ultimate sacrifice and carried all of our sin on him. He finished it all with his yes. See, these stories show obedience. They show trust and surrender. This is the kingdom of our God. This is where we walk. This is what we pray would come to our earth. Our yes can be costly, And we are willing, and are we willing to be bold, courageous, and give what we have? To say yes to walking with God? To walking in forgiveness, laying down our pain and hurt, so we can say yes to love? Choosing love instead of choosing self, and then all the things that come with choosing self. There's a whole load of stuff. Choosing his will, not ours. I just want to say, church, it's time for a fresh surrender today. Would you stand with me? It's time for a free, sweet fragrance of worship to come off of us and come off of our lives. And it's not just in what we're saying, singing. It's actually a heart posture. It's a deeper choice that even the people around you get to feel, your family experiences, because of the type of person that you are in the kingdom that you serve in. It's not the kingdom of this world, and it's not the kingdom of our culture. It's the kingdom of our God. And I believe what God has for us in the place he's calling us, we have to get to a place where we confidently already know and say, you have my yes. You have my yes. Whether I know what's going to happen, whether I don't know what's going to happen, and I walk boldly in my yes before you. Studio, that's who we are. I want to take time to pray over us. I believe that this is so powerful right now. I believe there's things that we're going to be choosing internally right now that are going to affect our life right now, but even generations. Just as Joseph was willing to lay down his pain and lay down the wrongs that have been done against him, in that place he was able to step into and bring deliverance to his family. But had he not done that, that would have not been an option. And I believe that there are stories in this room that there's things, and you could justly say, no, that is mine to hold. I am justified because this happened to me. It did. But God, would we be willing to lay it down and say yes to God in that place? So I would love to just pray for a moment, and then I want to ask you to pray for a few things.
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.